Take your Bibles and turn with us to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Been in this series on the amen, so be it. That's what you say to God's promises. We just sang it. Amen means, so be it, Lord. And I want to speak to you this morning. I can't wait to get to the pulpit today to preach God's word in the sixth segment of God's promises. And it's called Mountain Throwing Promise. The Mountain Throwing Promise. Often, great truths. I like short, pithy statements that kind of carry a element of truth about them. And usually it's a short, pithy statement so the principle or the value can be remembered. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I'm going to give you a number of short, pithy statements, and you just shout out the finish, okay? And you'll get what I mean. If somebody's trying to convey the value of presumption, what do they say? Don't count your chickens before they
finish.
Absolutely. About being overextended in life, too busy. What is the statement? Don't put too many irons in the
fire.
How about procrastination? If somebody's trying to portray, don't procrastinate. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Honesty is the best. Some people thought that was scripture. Did you know that there's a principle there, but it's not scripture. Integrity was what it's trying to emphasize. How about you want to instruct your children about the idea of influence? And so you use the statement, if you lie down with dogs, you're going to get up with
fleas.
Absolutely. I love the idea of the blessing of being naive. Ignorance is? Rome wasn't built in a day conveys the idea of patience. How about this one? See if you know this one. The perpetual nature of life, of just the ongoingness. Time and tide wait for no man. Absolutely. Consequences. We try and instill that within Eli and Ellie. You made your bed, now you've got to
lie
in it. And how about this? This is what we're going to talk about today. Faith will move a
mountain.
Today's scripture, we're going to look at, I submit to you, probably the greatest short statement ever given. And Jesus gave it. And he responded when you wouldn't have thought he needed to respond in that way. He said four words that you need to get in your spirit today. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Will you say it out loud with me? Have faith in God. Stand with me for the reading of the word. Would you, just a moment? I want you to catch this. Now, let's get the background. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Here's what's interesting about just studying, continuously studying God's Word, is you learn different things that you hadn't seen before. If you've been a part, anybody been a part of Brighton Assembly of God for more than 10 years? Raise your hand.
Amen.
Wow. Awesome. You know, if you've been a part of Brighton Assembly of God for more than 10 years, you will hear Pastor Trask use illustrations or an illustration that's kind of my favorite, if you will. I might talk about when I was 18 years old, and you've heard me talk about in different contexts how God miraculously delivered me in a rollover van accident with my basketball team in college. You know what? And how God's got a destiny for me, and I look towards that. Or you might hear me talk about how God providentially led my in-laws to go to Brightmoor Tabernacle when Rhonda was a senior in high school, and because of that, we met each other, and we get to share life. So you hear me talk about these stories in different contexts. Jesus had some favorite sermon illustrations himself. Did you know that? And one of them is what we're going to talk about even today. He, in no less than three different occasions in his ministry, he talked about the idea of moving a mountain. Say, moving a mountain. He declared that this is how you can remove a mountain from your path. And we're going to look at that today. Look at verse number 20 and put your eyes right there for a second. And then just go across the column. If you've got the church Bible today, you'll see there that this gives you the greater context of what's going on. Jesus, this is the week before he is going to be crucified. He and his disciples are staying in Bethany, about a mile away, if you will, in some friends' home. And every day they walk up the Mount of Olives and then down into Jerusalem. And Jesus, on one occasion, this is Tuesday, earlier in the chapter, if you will, of 11, he's walking and he's hungry. Look what the word says there in verse number 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He sees this fig tree that is in leaf, if you will. That means it's going to have some fruit. It's not going to be full-fledged figs yet, but when it was in leaf in that culture, in that flora and fauna, if you will, it would have some small figs that you could fill your stomach with. But Jesus, when he came to that tree, there was only foliage, there was no fruit. And so he cursed the tree. In essence, it's an interesting study. It's only Jesus' only negative miracle, if you will. He cursed the tree. May you bear fruit no more. They do ministry that day. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. They do ministry that day. They go back probably at dark, so they don't notice the tree. The next day is where we pick up. And I want you to see this. Verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt," say, "does not doubt," "in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." I want to talk to you today about mountain throwing faith. The Lord wants to help us be able to throw some mountains into the sea. And it's right there for us to partake in. I can't wait to see what God does through the word today. If you're watching online, would you do me a favor? You said you already asked me a favor. Well, I'm asking you another one. Those of you here, when you go home, will you share this? Online, will you just press that share? You never know who it might touch just by pushing a button. Let's pray. Lord, add your anointing to the word today. People didn't watch online. They didn't come in person, Lord, to hear a word from man. Lord, they came to hear a word from you. I pray, Lord, that your word would accomplish its plan. Lord, you gave us this word. You talked about mountain moving faith multiple times in your ministry. And so, Lord, it's imperative that we apply it in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, I pray your grace would abound in these next few moments. I ask, Lord, if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love. In Jesus' wonderful and mighty and awesome name. And all God's people would say, amen, amen and amen. Would you do this before you're seated? I look over here on my left, and back from Africa is our missionary hero, Kirk Flanagan. Would you welcome him back right now? We love you, Kirk. You may be seated. Love you, Kirk. Until the advent of aviation, Brighton, about 100 years ago when the Wright brothers discovered flight, almost all of transportation outside of the sea was ground-based. I mean, whether it was horses or chariots or carriages, then trains, and then subsequently automobiles, they all traveled on the ground. So whenever people were building roads or railroad tracks, a mountain presented a challenge. It represented a halt in progress, if you will. The mountain said, you know, in essence, you've got to deal with me before you can go any further. So the builders either had to go around the mountain or go over the mountain or tunnel through the mountain. I would submit to you in the same way. The Lord has each of us on a journey in life. Your journey's different than mine, but the fact of the matter is we all should be progressing and growing in our relationship with Him. But some mountains are too tall to climb and too wide to go around. And Jesus has a better idea than climbing a mountain. He says that you can move that mountain. I love how the Message paraphrases this passage. Look at it, if you will. If you embrace this kingdom life and don't doubt God, you'll not only do minor feats like I did to the fig tree, but also triumph over huge obstacles. This mountain, for instance, you'll tell, go jump in the lake and it will jump. Can you say amen? Amen. A mountain is any obstacle that blocks your path or your progress. It also, I would submit to you, blocks your view of God. Is there a challenge that you're facing even today? Right now, you're staring at a huge mountain. You may be staring at a financial mountain, and it seems as though you'll never get out of debt, or you're right on the brink of bankruptcy on a continuous basis. You might be in a relational or facing a relational mountain. Your marriage is on the rocks, or you're so lonely, you're afraid you'll never find the right one. Or you just can't seem to get along with a family member. It seems an insurmountable mountain. Others of you face physical mountains. There's a sickness that in and of itself you can't seem to overcome. I want to share with you today 4 mountain-throwing faith promises about how to remove the obstacles that would hinder and impede your progress in life. 4 elements, real quick, of mountain-throwing faith. Number one, I would submit to you very simply, mountain-throwing faith believes. Only 4 words Jesus gave, almost really disjointed from what Peter was proclaiming. He said, hey, Lord, the tree that you cursed, it's totally withered from the roots. And he responds, have faith in God. I think that's amazing. You and I would submit to you to start with the type of faith that will throw mountains. It all begins with believing God. Did you see multiple times in that passage? If you believe and don't doubt, if you believe. Hebrews 11:6, if you're taking notes, jot it down. It's not on the screen. But it simply is a great testament of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. How many of you want to please God? I do. Without faith, however, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Dr. Evie Hill once preached a 40-minute sermon on just 2 words. God is. And in his own unforgettable style, he pressed home the point that everything in the universe flows from this truth. God is. Figure that out and you can handle all of life. Deny that and nothing else makes sense in life. Either God is or God isn't, but you've got to start by believing that God is and He's for you. And if He is, if He's for you, it changes everything. The voice from the burning bush. told Moses, tell the people, I am. And he asked for a further explanation. And the only further explanation, Exodus 3:14, was, I am that I am, sent me. That's what it's all about. The only idea that we have to begin by grasping is that God is. I want you to know, when you and I open our mouths and begin to praise him, God gives us a wonderful invitation to his children. Psalm 81:10 said, open your mouth and I will fill it. Ask what you need, God says, and I'll do it for you. Jeremiah 33:3 has often been called God's telephone number because it contains a clear promise. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Great author Philip Yancey gave a great definition of believing in faith. He said, faith is believing in advance in something that will only seem logical when seen in reverse. See, often God calls you to believe him, right? For things that, humanly speaking, make no sense at all. But when you dare to believe, is what we will see in retrospect how it made a whole lot of sense. But we must first believe that God often will defy common sense. Second, mountain moving faith believes. Say believes.
Believes.
Say speaks.
Speaks.
Mountain throwing faith speaks, right? Now look at this passage, because this has been in my spirit. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Jesus said that we could say to the mountain, go jump in the lake. I wonder how many times you've ever spoken to your mountain and told it to jump in the lake. Oh, we talk about our problems, don't we? Ad nauseum. On and on we talk about our problems. And I would ask you, some of you may feel foolish speaking to a real mountain, going up to Everest or going up to Mount McKinley or Pikes Peak, whatever it might be. We would feel odd doing that, but how much more we would feel odd speaking to an invisible mountain. But I want you to think about this. If you're taking notes, just jot this down. You hear Ron and I speak about this often. David spoke to his own self. Psalm 42, verse 5 and verse 11. And then the next psalm, Psalm 43, verse 5. He says on a continuous basis, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Jim Smith spoke about that in the men's fellowship breakfast yesterday. But I would submit to you, yes, we need to self-talk. It's not ungodly to do that. But do you know, Jesus often spoke to things that you and I would have thought were foolish. He spoke to demons. He spoke to demons and commanded them to go. He spoke to wind and waves and said, peace, be still. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, you be cursed, you will never bear fruit again. You may be thinking, well, you know, Jesus can do that because he's God, Brad. But remember, Jesus told the disciples that the same thing he did to the tree, that you and I could do to the mountain. Say mountain. In fact, the more you talk, Brighton, about your mountain, I would submit to you, the bigger it's going to get. The more you talk about your mountain, I guess I'm destined to be by myself. I'll never get out of debt. You know what? I just got to live with this condition. Well, that, you know what? This habit, this stronghold, I'd really like to break it, but man, this thing, it just consumes me. And it grows until sometimes you've made a mountain out of that molehill, if you will. And if you don't speak to your mountain, hear me, God's speaking to people today. If you don't speak to your mountain, it'll speak to you. It'll taunt you. It'll talk trash to you. Look at me. You can't get past me. You better learn to deal with it. You'll never be healthy. You'll never get out of debt. Who are you? You really are that weakling your parents spoke about. You never will kick that habit. I would submit to you, there's a great little book. Gabe and Sarah here, they jot down the books that I reference. I would challenge them to get a hold of this one, and so should you. It's written by the former dean of Liberty University by the name of Elmer Towns. Elmer Towns is a great author, great man of God. And he wrote a little book a number of years ago called Say It Faith. Say It Faith. And he argued, based upon this text and others within the Word of God, that God honors, hear me, Brian, that God honors those who dare to say out loud what they're asking God to do. Amen. Great leaders, man, this challenged me when I read this past week. Great leaders galvanize their followers by saying out loud, this is where God's leading us. Dad, best thing that you can do on a regular basis. God is leading us to do this. Mom, God is leading us. Here, let the family hear you say that. And great leaders, Towns believes, and I submit to you, they galvanize their followers by saying it out loud. This is where God's leading us. It might be to send missionaries to an unevangelized tribe. It might be to raise millions for a sanctuary, or you to start a business, whatever it might be, or to see somebody healed of COVID-19. Leaders talk about their impossible dreams openly, and then they pray publicly about what God has laid on their hearts. This releases, I submit to you, God's power in a unique way, because it puts the impossible issue on the table where everyone can see it. And as long as you keep silent about your dreams, they are much less likely to come true. Speak to the mountain. So try speaking directly to the mountain. You don't have to yell. You can if you want. But just speak to the mountain. Just say by faith. Mountain, there's not enough room for me and you in this life. So you got to go. Speak to the mountain. Believe. Say believe.
Believe.
Say speak. Say pray.
Pray.
Mountain throwing faith prays. You might encounter, well, Pastor, where do I get this type of mountain throwing faith? We see it right there in verse 24. I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer. Can I tell you? Prayer and fasting will build greater faith in your life. It says, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Note the change of the tenses, right? There's the present tense. Whatever you ask for. Say present. Look at the past. It's in the past tense. Believe you have received it. Believing in advance is like a young couple putting up and decorating a nursery before the wife ever gets pregnant. We're just believing. Or it's believing in advance. It's kind of, remember when the single ladies back in the day used to prepare a hope chest for the day that they're married? It's just, you know what? It's going to happen for me. You say, Mom, I'm talking about your mountain. I'm talking about you believing whatever you ask, believe you have received. It's as good as done. Ron Hutchcraft says, it's like buying a Christmas present in September, but hiding it until December. We stash the presents in the closet and then get them out when Christmas draws near. You can give the presents early. You can't give the presents early, excuse me, or it'll spoil the joy. In prayer, our part is to trust God completely while we wait for the answers to come. If your Father wants you to have it, it may not be in your hands, but it's already in the closet. Amen. What do you want? What do you need? What's the mountain in your way? The past, whatever you ask for, believe you've received it, past tense. Then there's the future. it will be yours. The present's in the closet, friend. You've got to speak to the mountain. We're to pray in the presence with the assurance that God has already granted our request, even though the answer will not come until the future. I want you to glean something today. I want you to jot this down. It's not on the screen. It just felt like from a just a contact, and just felt like the Lord dropped this in my heart. But I want you to get this. You want God's power to be displayed in your life by the mountain moving. Are you with me? Say amen. See, you know what's funny? Rhonda will tell you, and anybody that speaks publicly, you know what? I'm preaching to you, and a million things are running through my mind. And you know what just happened to me? I was sitting there, and I'm preaching this, and all of a sudden I remember, I didn't even take the offering today. You know, somebody got blessed over here. And it's amazing how, you know what, when you want to deliver the word or you want to receive the word, how the distractions come. The offering will take care of itself. It'll be there. It'll be online. It'll be there as you access. Amen. But I want you to get this, Brighton. Because here is the principle you've got to garner. We're talking about praying, right? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Say this with me. Public power. Say nice and loud.
Public power
always
follows
private prayer.
Private prayer.
Public power always follows private prayer. It's through the avenue of prayer. It's where it all begins. Your faith and your believing and your speaking is going to raise in its elevation, because the fact of the matter is, when you're fasting and praying in private, you know what? There's going to be a boldness in your faith that is going to arise. Doubt is going to diminish. You can't fast and pray without faith arising and doubt diminishing that you can speak to mountains. And I believe in our lives. I heard a quote from a man. He was praying and he said, "Lord, teach us to pray big prayers. So much of what we pray is just details." And I found that to be helpful. It's not that the details aren't important, but sometimes we suffer because our vision is just too small. We're worried about, can you move this little molehill? And the Lord's saying, would you just ask me for great things? You've prayed, you've sought me. Speak to the mountain.
Amen.
If we want to honor God, we'll believe what he says and then act on that belief by praying large prayers that require an almighty God to answer them. Mark Batterson wrote these words about prayer. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or boldest prayers. He's offended by anything less. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they are insulting to God. During a drought in England about 100 years ago, it's a great story. During this severe drought, a pastor called his church to a special prayer meeting and asked them to seek God, that God would send much needed rain on the Great British Isle. And so though it was a bright day, cloudless, godly woman by the name of Mary came to the prayer meeting with her umbrella. And some of her friends asked her, "Why did you bring an umbrella? It's cloudless. You know what? It's sunny out." She said, "Since we're praying for rain, I thought I should bring an umbrella." Everyone kind of chuckled. The pastor patted her on the cheek. And as they were praying, the winds rose. The clouds rolled in. And sure enough, the heavens opened up. And down came a great torrent of rain. Mary was dry while the congregation went home wet. And that's what faith does. Faith brings an umbrella to the prayer meeting when you're praying for rain. Charles Simeon said, "No prayer offered in faith can ever fail." So the worship team comes back. Say believes.
Believes.
Say speaks.
Speaks.
Say praise.
Praise.
I would submit to you, mountain throwing faith forgives. It's interesting. If you study a great many scholars on Mark chapter 11. You'll see some of the scholars are variant on the beliefs of this passage. Some say, you know what? Yes, it's scriptural, but it really doesn't belong in that passage, verse 25 and 26. You know what? It shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be attached to Mountain Moving Faith. Now, there's other scholars, and I agree with those, that believe it's right where it needs to be. Because they state that, you know what? Mountain Moving Faith is tied to forgiveness in your life. Look what it says here in closing. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, say anything, against anyone. Forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your sins. Did you see that? You might say, Brad, how inclusive is this instruction that Jesus gave to us? What does it require me to forgive? It says it right there. Anything against anyone. Anything against anyone. Mount Moving Faith forgives anything against anyone. You see, right? Stand with me, would you? We're the body of Christ, right? We're connected to each other. Nobody serves the Lord in isolation. You say, well, Pastor, people are watching online. They need relationships with godly people. Yes. You know what? I agree with the statement. You know what? You don't have to be a Christian and go to church. But you do have to be a Christian who goes to church if you want to be a growing Christian. Amen. You and I need each other. And the fact of the matter is, so often in our culture is, you know what? We say, you know what, Lord, it's just you and me. And it's not just you and him. It's you and him and others. So it's right there. And the fact of the matter is, the Lord speaks a word to our lives today. You know what? The vertical is important. I mean, I've got to have this alignment with him. I've got to believe. I've got to pray. I've got to have faith in Almighty God. You know what? But the fact of the matter is, I can't allow sin or unforgiveness or bitterness in my life at a horizontal level to be cherished in my heart. Otherwise, he's not going to listen. Psalm 66, 18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, you would not have listened, O Lord. Bitterness, what the Lord's saying to us today, bitterness will block the mountain moving faith element of your life. You see, here it goes. You ready? Freedom always follows forgiveness. God set you free from your sins, right? You asked for forgiveness. He forgave you. You entered into freedom. And the same truth it holds to your life and my life. If you're going to hold on to bitterness and an unforgiving spirit towards somebody, anything about to anyone, the fact of the matter is it'll block the mountain moving faith element in your life. If you're unwilling, here's a principle that's heavy, but it's truth. If you're unwilling to forgive, it ties the hands of God. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? An omnipotent God's hands are tied. Not because he couldn't do it. He won't do it. If you won't forgive at the horizontal level, the fact of the matter is he can't bless your life at the vertical level and see the mountains move. If you're unwilling to forgive, it hinders the mountain-moving, mountain-throwing faith that ought to be present in your life. So what's the answer to the problem you face? Have faith in God. What's the answer to the need for your life? Have faith in God. Isn't it interesting? The Word of God is so powerful. you know what? Lord, this tree that you cursed yesterday, it's withered up. Have faith in God. What do you need today? Well, I need this job. I need this relationship. I need this this doctor to diagnose me. No. Have faith in God. The short, pithy statement. What's your problem? Have faith in God. Lord, across the sanctuary, online, people have incredible mountains. And Lord, you want to help them see that mountain thrown into the sea. In these next few moments, Lord, would you accomplish it? Would you accomplish it, Lord? People have struggled, and that mountain has been taunting them and talking to them and diminishing your power in their life for sometimes maybe even generations. Lord, would you give them the ability to speak to the mountain? Not to look at the mountain, not speak about the mountain, speak to the mountain. Be thrown into the sea because they believe in an almighty God who, when we pray, faith arises in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, we speak to mountains. And Lord, we hold no unforgiveness towards anyone, anything at a horizontal level so that we can see the windows of heaven thrown open on our behalf. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're watching online, if you've never surrendered your life today to Jesus, today's your day. Just press that Brighton AGA Next Steps button that's on the screen right there with you. And we'll lead you in a walk with Christ today.